We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? This is the 54th episode of the Bronx Pinstripe Show. We passed 50 pretty quickly, and we're moving on as the season gets closer. This is Andrew Rotondi. You can find me on Twitter at Yankees Talk. We've got Scott Reinen. Find him on Twitter at Scott Reinen. Obviously, you can get the website at Bronx Pinstripes and BronxPinstripes.com. We tweet pretty often from that account as well. Scott, did you survive Snowmageddon?
Yeah, Snowmageddon didn't hit me very hard. But I know everybody in Jersey, New York got crushed. My sister, I'm actually going to be up at my in Jersey and New York for probably the next week or so. So I'm going to be I'm hoping everything's melted by that time, so I don't have to help my sister dig anything out.
Well, you should call up Francesa because he loves his snowblower.
I heard about this. I actually heard it on Boomer and Carton.
Yeah, I've listened to it twice. It's fantastic. It's vintage Francesa.
Yeah. Well, I mean, before that, they always had the snowblower. You know, he's a window thrower, and now they do. Now that he actually came on and said that he's a Picasso at the snowblower is amazing. It was perfect radio.
I picture him waking up at like 3 a.m., like kid on Christmas morning, waiting to use his snowblower, going out, putting his hat on, putting his probably Giants hat on, his Yankees, you know, old-time Yankees jacket, and just going out there and blowing snow all over the place. It's a great sight.
It is a good sight, and I kind of picture. I have a different picture in my mind of. I see what you're talking about with his getup, but I have a vision of him with like the actual snowblower. When I was a kid, we used to go around, you know, and like shovel, and then when we got enough money, we all pulled it together and got a snowblower. It was a piece of junk that we fixed up, and we spray painted this thing silver, like it was this giant snowblower. It was huge. And the muffler was broken, and it shot flames out the muffler every single time it would like hit like a hard piece, and it would like struggle. So that's how I picture him with like a flamethrower snowblower.
So that's like a Mad Max snowblower.
Exactly. Yeah. That thing was awesome. So I imagine him with the snowblower
with a spray painted number 7 for Mickey Mantle on the side.
Perfect. How can you go wrong with this?
I know New York got hit pretty hard. It was not much snow up here in Boston. Probably 5 to 6 inches, which last year was the complete opposite. Last February, we got like 70 inches of snow.
Well, it's not February yet. I feel like it's the storm before the storm. I don't know. I just feel like this isn't it. I feel like there's more.
Well, people in Manhattan love, I mean, my Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook feeds were just littered with people showing pictures of how much snow they got. There's nothing people love more than tweeting out pictures of snow on their windows or snow on cars or whatever it may be. It during a snowstorm, you're going to get thousands of pictures like that.
Yeah, and you always get at least 10 of your friends who are using the snow as a cooler and put beer in it, and they feel so proud of themselves.
Like no one thought of that.
Yeah, because they put the beer in the snow and it's keeping it cold. Like that's a genius idea. But you get at least 10 of those people who are doing that.
It's just too bad the snowstorm happened on a weekend and not like a Wednesday, and you can get a nice little midweek day off from work or something.
It sucks for everybody because the kids are in school, or the kids are not in school on a Saturday, obviously. Nobody's working. So yeah, when it comes on a weekend, I know as a kid, if a snowstorm ever came on a weekend, I was always bummed out.
Devastated.
Yeah, because you don't get a day off, so it's pretty much a waste of a snowstorm. So yeah, I get that, and it was bad timing for them. But I think a lot of people had Monday off. So
why?
Because I know my sister, my nieces in Princeton had the day off.
Oh, still from the
school?
Snow.
From school, yeah, from the snow.
Oh. Well.
A lot of some of the back roads still weren't plowed. I have friends on Long Island that had back roads that were not plowed. So yeah, there's still, I think, little areas. And if the school bus can't get to everybody, they won't have school. So
very true. So we've got some news with the website. You just created a new page on the website. You can find it right from the homepage. It's called Yankees on Twitter. And this pretty much pulls every one of the Yankees players in the minors as well as the majors. And it has all of their Twitter feed up on the site so you can see them all at once. Pretty awesome feature. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's actually a really cool feature. It's cool on mobile. Like it looks good on mobile. But if you're on mobile, I mean, you can be on Twitter at that point because it really doesn't look too much different. There's not a lot of room to do things when you're on your phone. But if you're on your computer at home or if you're on a laptop and you go to Bronx Pinstripes, the Yankees on Twitter page, it's if you look in the navigation bar on the top, it's under NYY Social because we're going to have one for Instagram as well. But it's anyway, it's all the Yankees on Twitter. It's everybody who's on Twitter that plays for the team. And it's basically just a feed of everybody on that page. It spans the whole page and it refreshes, I think, every 15 seconds. So it's up to date. You can actually interact, blow up the pictures, and do everything right from the Bronx Pinstripe site. So it's actually really cool. And we're going to be doing Yankees chat directly on that page a lot during this season too. So definitely check it out. Bookmark it. It's actually easier to follow the Yankees on that page than it is on Twitter.
You can stay up to date on everything that A-Rod is tweeting. Did you see what he tweeted today?
I saw you post a video.
He tweeted out a picture of him doing exercises on the beach and there's somebody running behind him. And it reminds me so much of the Rocky III training montage. It's hilarious.
There's someone running behind him, like holding a parachute.
Holding one of those workout rubber bands attached to him, so it's for resistance. But
nice,
A-Rod. A-Rod's going A-Rod beast
Corp?
Mode.
This is that an A-Rod Corp intern?
It probably is. I checked back to arodcorp.com just to see if they updated the website at all. They have not. So we still are sitting on pins and needles before we can figure out what A-Rod Corp actually does.
And they did not reach out to me, so we have no involvement of building their website as of yet. So
yeah,
I've not got an email.
And I guess my resume got lost in the mail because I haven't heard back either. We got some new designs, new t-shirt designs coming out in the fan shop. I saw you just put out a new one. It's Meet Me at the Bat. It's a picture of the old Yankee Stadium bat, which was an old smokestack that they put a band around to look like a grip on a bat, and that was a pretty popular meeting spot before games. So that was a pretty cool one that you created.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the meeting spot. Everybody was meeting me at the bat. And
well, if you weren't meeting at Billy's, you were meeting at the bat.
The bat was a landmark for Yankee Stadium. You know, growing up, that was the place where we would go to meet up. And I know that like 95% of Yankee fans have met at the bat at some point in their life. So yeah, I actually started to do. I'm taking more of a hands-on approach to a lot of these t-shirts. I have a million really good ideas for Yankees fans that Yankees fans, probably only Yankees fans would get, which I really like. And I'm starting to draw a lot of these out by hand. So I'm going to put up a blog post as well about kind of the process of drawing this thing out and then getting everything to print. And we're going to have probably a pre-sale either next week or the following week for that guy. But yeah, I'm redesigning the online storefront. So the fan shop will be have a complete makeover. We're going to have a lot more designs this year in the shop and a lot of other things other than t-shirts that you'll be able to get prints. And then we're partnering with some people to get some other stuff too. So yeah, it's going to be really cool. We're definitely stepping it up with that. We want to give Yankee fans just some custom stuff that they wouldn't see in like a big box.
The Jeter shirt, the captain shirt that I have, is my go-to shirt when going to a big game. I think the Yankees record since I've had it, I think they're 5-1 in games that I've gone to. And the one game that they lost was our outing last year in which they got killed by the Blue Jays.
Ivan Nova.
So that might be your fault, the fact that you were there and not actually the shirt's fault.
Yeah, that's fine. You can blame me. I'll take the heat on that one. That's cool. But yeah, no, that was a good shirt. The game over shirt. Still today, the most popular shirt that we've sold is that we made is the game over shirt, the Mariano Rivera shirt. But I think Meet at the Bat's gonna rival it because I just think people like that style. It's got a cool style, and once I add some details and stuff to it on the computer as well, and ends up being pretty neat.
You might need to be like 16 or 17 years of age or older to get it though.
That's okay. See, to me, if you don't get it, then that's fine. Then don't wear the shirt. I only want people who get it to wear the shirt, obviously. So,
but you want everybody to buy the shirt.
I want everybody to buy the shirt and then give it to somebody who's older than you who will get it. No, but yeah, I think it'll be one of the more popular ones because I think most people will get it. But yeah, so that one, I'm pumped up for that one. And then just a couple other things that are just that are coming up for the site that I want you guys to keep an eye on. We're starting to do this year in 2016, We're going to be doing featured columnists. That means we're going to have five writers on Monday through Friday. Each of these guys is going to have their own day, and it's going to be more of an opinion piece based around the Yankees. It could be something about current, so something about, you know, league rules. It could be something about the history of the Yankees that ties into today. You know, the topics are going to be very, very wide open, but we are going to have five featured columnists this year to put those out. So I'm excited about that, and I know we're going to be working with the YES Network on some stuff with those as well.
I will be one of those.
And then
five.
Andrew will be one of the five. Rich Kaufman will be one of them as well. And then RJ Lubier, who's been on the show, and then two more guys that are newer to the site. Drew and Adam will also be rounding up the columnists. And then
I feel
the final,
like a real newspaper writer now.
I know.
I have deadlines now.
You will have a deadline. It'll be good. And then the last piece of the site, if you haven't noticed, we're putting a lot of effort into the website, getting everything going, because we want this to be really a giant hub for Yankees fans, and it's really becoming that, which is awesome. But we're gonna have forums that are set up in there, so we can kind of get a little bit more of a deeper conversation with some of the things that we bring up on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. And we're also going to be partnering with Pinstripe Prospects, who's going to be doing a lot of their farm system conversations on there too. So that'll be cool. These guys are really plugged into the farm system.
Yeah, they were on one of our podcasts probably a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Yes, exactly. And we will have them on in the future again. While we do cover some of the prospect stuff on Bronx Pinstripes, these guys really dive into it, and they know just everything about every single prospect, which is good to have. So those guys will be partnering us on the forums, and you'll see a lot of their writers in there as well. So it'll be a cool place to talk Yankees baseball.
And last but not least, what do we got for spring training?
Last but not least, I will be down in spring training. You're possibly going down. I know Rich Kaufman will be down. Possibly a few more writers will also be down in spring training. We're going to be down there March 10th through the 13th. So it's the second week in March, second week of spring training. And yeah, we're going to put together something, some kind of a meetup. We'll meet up at a bar or outside the game or something. I don't know. We'll figure that out when the time comes a little closer. But if you are going to be in Tampa during that time, March 10th through 13th, just hit us up. Let us know. And we'll put something together.
Yes, I really do want to go. I just need the flights to come down just a little bit. I am not made of money like you, Scott. So I need them to come down just a little bit so I can go to spring training.
You got to plant one of those money trees in your backyard like I have.
Damn it. Can you give me the seeds? Lots of good stuff with the website. So very excited about that. I have some ideas for that weekly column. So I'm going to get those spinning. All right. So let's get into it. We're going to stick with this formula from last week where we talk baseball and Yankees, and then we'll hit on football. Football's almost over. So everyone out there who doesn't want the football talk only has to listen to it for a couple more weeks. But
well, football's over for you now, right?
Yeah. We'll get to
that. It's completely
later.
Over. We don't have to hear about that anymore.
We'll get to that later.
Okay.
All right, so the news with baseball, Cespedes re-signs with the Mets. 3 years with an opt-out after the first year. So he could treat this like a one-year contract. He's getting, I think, $25 million for the 1 year. If he puts up a solid year, he can hit the free agent market again, and he won't have to compete with Upton and Hayward. So he might get his 5-6-year deal then. Obviously, Mets fans are happy because, let's face it, without Cespedes in that lineup is garbage. So, and they also lost Daniel Murphy. So they definitely needed Cespedes. But there were some rumors that his agents reached out to the Yankees. That was probably just to put the Mets' hand to the fire. I know he also maybe had an offer from the Nationals for 5 years. I kind of don't buy that because why would he turn down a 5-year deal? But all we know is he will be playing in Queens next season.
There's so many elements to this. The fact that he floated out that he wants to be a New Yorker, his agent floated that he wants to be in New York, and that they were getting in touch with the Yankees to kind of see where they were, if there was an opportunity that they'd be interested in signing him. I just think it's very interesting. The whole 5-year deal, I'm not sure I believe all of these things that are being talked about. A lot of this could just be agent rumors, floating stuff to gain leverage. And in all honesty, it worked. It worked. He got the contract.
Well, it worked to an extent.
No, I think it worked very well for him because you said 25. Wasn't the first year 27? I thought it was 27.
Okay. But I think it's the second season might be 27 and a half to entice him to stay or something like that. I'm not sure.
Either way, it's a very large It's a very large
overpayment for a 1 year on Cespedes.
No doubt. It's overpayment for 3 years too, in my opinion. But he's guaranteed this 3 years of his exorbitant contract. But if he comes out and puts up this year, he's got, again, he has the ability to either go out to see what he can get when people know what he's going to make next year if he opts in or if he stays in the contract. There's a lot of things that can happen for him. I think he puts himself in a really good position. I don't know. The Yankees, I don't think we're ever serious about this. You know, we put something up because it was floated out there, and it's at that point it's news, and we gotta talk
headline.
About these things. It is a juicy headline. And you know what I mean? Like if there's national reports out there that this is going on, then maybe there is some truth to it. And you never know. The Yankees have done things like this in the past where they've come out of nowhere and signed people. So I just didn't think it was a good fit. Good for the Mets. The Mets needed this guy. They really did. They needed this big bat in that lineup
to
really justify it.
Are you I don't know about you, but a tiny part of me was proud of the Mets for re-signing him.
See, there's such a hatred on the Mets side for Yankee fans, but the majority of Yankee fans that I know, I mean, I know some that just cannot stand the Mets and completely despise them, but I think the overwhelming thinking of the Mets is like, good job, little buddy. I'm glad you got your guy. I hope you guys do well. Good luck. That type of attitude. That's always been my attitude. Maybe it's because they've never been really a threat in my, like, I don't know, in my baseball career, except for 2000.
Well, that wasn't much of a threat.
Right. You know, so I don't know. I think when both teams are good, it's more fun, in my opinion.
I thought this summer this past summer for New York baseball was fantastic. I mean, every night there was a big game in the city. So I think that sort of buzz is good for the city, good for baseball when you have big market teams in it. And like I said a minute ago, without Cespedes, the Mets were going to really struggle to score runs. I mean, they struggled at times with Cespedes to score runs, but without him, they would have been screwed. So definitely good for them for re-signing him. And like you said, if you're a Yankees fan between, you know, anywhere in your 20s, the Mets have never been a threat to the Yankees. They've never won while you were really, you know, in baseball. I mean, they won in 86. I wasn't even born in 86. So I don't really have a ton of hatred for the Mets like some other people might.
Well, not to mention, I mean, honestly, this past year, the Mets had an exciting year, and their fans were obnoxious and loud all year long. Like, they were just out there talking, which is fine. You know what I mean? Like, that's cool. You should. You have a good team at that point. Talk it up. But I kind of like that because to me, that pumps me up more. I want my team to you know, excel even more than they do and yeah, get to a higher pinnacle. So, you know, I think it kind of smacks the Yankees fans, you know, kind of pumps us up a little bit too, because now the fact that there is someone else in the city that's doing well is, you know, I don't know, just more competition. And I love competition. So
totally. And by no means am I rooting for the Mets.
Oh, no, I'm not rooting for the Mets, but
I know
say that I wouldn't enjoy a Subway Series would be completely wrong, because I would. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Some Yankee fans on Twitter were throwing it out there once the Yankees were bounced from the playoffs, which was pretty early, that they were looking for the Mets to win, and I was certainly not one of those people, but this does not bother me much. Some other news is that the DH might be coming to the National League, which might be good for Cespedes down the road in the National League. So there's been some rumors that it's gaining momentum with with Manfred, and it's going to be addressed at the next CBA. So we could see the DH in the National League as early as 2017. I don't know your opinion on this. Are you a pro DH or not a DH guy?
I am a pro DH guy. I have grown up with American League Baseball my whole life. I don't like watching National League Baseball because of it's not that I don't like watching National League Baseball. I don't like watching the pitcher hit. To me, it's just a waste of an at-bat.
Always afraid, at least I'm always afraid, our pitchers are going to get hurt.
Right. Well, and the game of baseball right now, the way that the, I don't know, younger people are watching the game, to me, they need more people that are competent at the position that they're playing, and that is one half of the pitcher when they're hitting the ball. Like, a lot of these guys, you have your rarities with guys who can hit, but
Madison Bumgarner hitting grand slams all over the place.
But the majority of these guys can't, you know, don't even scratch 100.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So you want a guy in there who can actually hit the ball, give yourself another chance to score. You know, I see that a lot of the baseball purists don't like the DH at all. They like the fact that there's more small ball. It's more, there's a lot more strategy, I think, in National League Baseball because of the double switching and because of the fact that you do have your nine hitter as your pitcher. So there's a lot of different situations that come into play without the DH. But I don't know. I think the way that the game is progressing and that the way that the audience is progressing, people want to see more action. And that just to me, it's a no-brainer, and they're going to move to the DH at some point.
Well, first of all, I think it's ridiculous that the leagues are different. In no other, the National League in Major League Baseball is the only league in baseball in the entire country that doesn't have a DH. That includes Little League, or not Little League, sorry, college, you know, all of the minor league systems, AAU ball, all that stuff. So it's pretty ridiculous that you get to the National League at the Major League level and all of a sudden you're hitting if you're a pitcher and you haven't done it ever.
Well, especially with all the interleague play, with the amount of times we play National League teams now,
right.
It's
definitely
stupid.
Puts the AL at a disadvantage. But I think even stupider than the fact that they're different is that they have not just agreed on something, whether that's a DH for both leagues or no DH at all. Just agree on something. I would be fine if they just took the DH out entirely. I just know that's not going to happen because that takes away big paychecks from a lot of guys who can't play the field. David Ortiz would not have a career if it weren't for the DH. And he's been making 15, 17 million bucks for the last 10 years, a year.
Yeah, the Players Association would never let it happen.
Never going away. I like American League Baseball. Obviously, I'm a Yankees fan. But I do see the allure of National League games. They're quicker. All National League games are always over by 10 o'clock. Whereas the Yankee games routinely go to 10:45. And, you know, I watch every game. That does get a little tiring sometimes.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a consideration, the length of the game, because you actually have 9 good hitters instead of 8 good hitters, or maybe 8 good hitters. But, you know, I just, with the amount of people that, you know, that are – they're being employed because they can hit and hit well, and it lengthens their career. I just don't see them getting rid of it. And totally. I agree with you. I think they are going to make everything the same at some point because of the way interleague play is now just scattered. I mean, it would be one thing if it was old school and we were not playing the National League until the World Series, but that's not the case anymore.
Every night there's an interleague game.
Right. I mean, I personally kind of liked it the other way, where we never saw that team until the World Series. It was more of an unknown, and I thought that was kind of cool. But whatever, that's not the case anymore. So to me, it's a moot point as far as that's concerned. And I think they're going to put the DH in the National League, whether it's next year or in the near future.
Well, at least we get to see Bartolo Colon hit in 2016. That's a treat for everybody.
That is a treat.
All right, so let's get into some Yankees talk here. And we got a Twitter question right before the show from Joey Z. McFly, who I think we've gotten a question from before. So appreciate the question, Joey. Or Joe, not Joey. He says, am I the only one that thinks the Yankees and Angels are a match for a trade? What's it going to take to get us Andrew Heaney? Perfect guy, no? So he's talking about the lefty Andrew Heaney on the Angels. The Angels are looking for outfield help because they have Trout and pretty much nobody else. That whole experiment signing, what's his name?
Hamilton
to big money did not work. Totally backfired. He stunk. They basically had to give him back to Texas.
Which I still don't understand why that happened.
I know, in division.
That's a totally different topic. But like, why would you pay the contract, do everything for this guy? Like, oh, no problem, man. No problem. We'll still pay you. How much did they have left on that contract? Like $50 million, something stupid.
Yeah.
And we're going to give you to our division rival to go out there and beat us and succeed and then win the division and move into the playoffs and make you a better team.
But that goes to show you how much of a clubhouse, you know, problem he probably was.
Then sit his ass down. Then sit him down. Don't trade him.
There's always a bottom line, though. There's always a dollars and cents bottom line.
I know, but they're paying him the whole thing.
No, not the whole thing. No.
Practically the whole thing. It's a giant amount of it. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, the question was, are they a perfect fit? And kind of, yeah. I mean, the pitcher that the Andrew Heaney kid, I don't really know a lot about him. I know he was up for, 100-plus innings this past year?
Yeah, and the year before that, he basically just was made a few starts. I believe he was a September call-up.
Okay. So I don't know too much about the guy, but I do know just from looking at him and just doing a little bit of research on the guy, he's controlled, I think, for the next 3 or 4 years. He's got a controlled contract. He's 24 years old. He's a lefty starting pitcher who throws, you know, has a good breaking stuff and is in the low 90s. So to me, a controlled 24-year-old lefty with major league stuff is a no-brainer. That's a guy you want to have on your team. And that's the type of guy that Cashman seems to be looking for, the young, controllable starting pitching. And the fact that they need somebody in the outfield a la Brett Gardner, yes, it actually does make a lot of sense. It makes a ton of sense, that type of trade. So I agree with you.
I agree as well. And you're right. He's not arbitration eligible until 2018. So he's still locked up for a long time. But if you're the Angels, are you trading away a young left-handed starting pitcher who's only 24 years old for Brett Gardner?
Well, you know, they're at a point right now where do they think they can win with another offensive piece? I mean, do they have the depth? I don't know what their system is like.
Well, they're probably in
AAA.
They've got to be in win now mode. I mean, Pujols is getting much older really fast. So they don't have much longer with Pujols being a productive hitter. And he was pretty productive last year.
Yeah, adding he had a good Gardner, year. Definitely had a bounce.
Adding in Gardner as a leadoff hitter, you have Gardner, Trout, and Pujols in that lineup. That's a pretty solid lineup, or at least the top of the lineup. But, I mean, to give up a young starting pitcher, I feel like the Yankees would have to give them something else in addition to Gardner to get a young starting pitcher back.
Yeah, but to me, it is a move that if the Angels are trying to win right now and they're in the win now mode, like you're talking about, they absolutely would, I think, make this type of trade, because Gardner is a piece that could put you over the top, or at least conceptually could put you over the top with a speed guy, Gold Glove. So it's a very good complement piece to what they have. And I know that they have a lot of young pitching, and I know they have a pretty good system. I don't know exactly who is in their system, but I think they have some starting pitching there. So, you know, it's definitely an intriguing move. And I think just on the surface, it looks like a good, you know, two good partners for a transaction. I'm just not convinced that the Yankees are actually, you know, that motivated to get rid of Gardner at this point. I think, you know, they floated him to a certain team's looking for that one guy or that, you know, for something in particular, and they didn't get it. So I think they're holding on to him at this point.
Yeah. If you give up Gardner, your outfield is going to – you're going to have some problems in the outfield next year, because how can we count on Aaron Hicks to play a full-time role? I don't think they can.
Well, and I don't think that's – I think that's the issue. I don't think they're bringing him over to play a full-time role. I think because of his versatility, they want him to be that guy that could play different positions.
100%. But if you trade Gardner, he would have to be a five-time-a-week player.
I'm totally agreeing with you. I think that's exactly right. I guess the only thing thinking about that, if you're looking at the guys behind him and that are not on the starting rotation or starting lineup and have been in AAA, but like guys like Slade Heathcott could be a person that might be able to, you know, fill in there. So who knows?
Having said that, I think I still would do that trade if I'm Brian Cashman. And this is we're totally making this up. We're just sort of, you know, it was a Twitter question, so we're just sort of spitballing here. But I think if I were Brian Cashman and it's a one-for-one deal, I do make that trade. Even though it does hurt you in the outfield, I think getting a young starting pitcher is more valuable, especially to this team.
I would make the trade too. As much as I love Gardner and the fact that he's a homegrown dude, this is a move that helps the Yankees out, not only immediately, I think, because I do think there's guys who can step up in his role, that I think this is a very solid long-term move for the Yankees.
Totally. Chapman is not going to face charges. This has been floating out there pretty much since the Yankees got him. You know, what's going to be the decision? This is the court decision on Chapman. He's not going to face charges for the domestic violence issue, which I think happened, in early November? It totally scared away the Dodgers, so they backed out on that trade. His price dropped immensely. The Yankees swooped in. Cashman got him for basically peanuts. And the Steinbrenners said, you know, we evaluated the situation. They knew the risk they were taking in trading for Chapman. But and this is something that you don't hear people say, or at least you don't see much in our society anymore. But he said, innocent until proven guilty. I mean, when does that ever happen in the public eye anymore? It's always guilty until you're proven innocent, and then still it's like, oh, you've got a stain of guilt on you. Whether it's anything in sports or you know, like we saw the Making a Murderer thing. I'm not comparing the two issues, but it's always guilty until proven innocent, not the other way around.
Well, especially in the world of social media, the digital age, you're already tried in the court of social media and social opinion. And
it's harsh. Yes. It's a harsh court.
It's brutal, dude. Twitter's way worse than anything, than like a jury of your peers. Twitter is not your peers, and they don't like you. They immediately hate you, and they will just crush you. So yeah, the fact that he is you're guilty until proven innocent is basically the truth. But I mean, it's good news for the Yankees, and maybe it just kind of leads to the fact that the situation wasn't what we thought it was. Who knows? I don't know. I wasn't there. But talking about the Yankees, it's good news. And Chapman should be on the field. I mean, I don't think Manfred really has – I don't really understand how you could suspend a guy that there's no charges being done unless you're just – unless you know have more information and you're gonna suspend him for something else. But if there is a suspension that's looming, I don't think it's going to be a very long one at all. Like under seven games, I would say.
Oh yeah, I think seven would be a lot at this point. I could see it being like a 3-game suspension.
Yeah, but
or
even
like
then,
a, or
what's
five,
the point of that?
Or five, and then argue it. Well, for a reliever, that's.
No, I mean on the Major League Baseball level, and Manfred's point, why would you do a 3-5 game? What is that proving?
Well, because it's at
three
least,
games because you put your hands on a girl.
Well,
three
but,
games for that.
But it's more saying we're not tolerating anything. I know you.
But
were,
it's three games. That is tolerating it to me.
Well,
that's my point. Like, I don't think that's why I think they're not going to suspend him unless it's lengthy. It's either lengthy or it makes no point. To me, Manfred's got to make a point with these things, right? Like, if he's going to go out and just be soft with something, then you might as well not do it and then just hang your hat on the fact that there were no charges. I don't
guess.
Know.
Commissioner?
Baseball commissioner, thank you. God, that was like GM commissioner. As a new commissioner, you know, he's now making his mark. So I think the everything that he does is going to be scrutinized even more because nobody knows what to expect from him. So to me, you know, you run the risk if you give a guy like this a very small suspension, it's going to make more news there. Whereas if you don't give him a suspension and you just hang it, there were no charges. That's kind of my opinion, because if you do give him something, you're saying that he did something wrong.
It's just we haven't seen this before, so we don't know.
Right.
This is the first instance of it under the new agreement with the players. So we don't know. This sort of sets the stage for everything going forward. And a lot of times you're going to not see people charge because there's – let's face it. A lot of times in these situations, the women are paid off. I'm not saying it happened now, but that does happen, and then they drop the charges. That doesn't mean the guy is innocent. So Manfred still has to make a decision. So
yep, that's true.
Some other Yankees news, and this talking about Twitter, this kind of blew up on Twitter last week when Hal Steinbrenner said he's not comfortable with the payroll going any higher than it currently is, and everybody, all Yankees Twitter was freaking out. Even though they're spending over $200 million, their payroll for the 40-man roster, if nothing changes between now and the start of the season, is $206 million, which is the second highest only to the Dodgers, who are pretty much paying like $1 billion because they're paying half of the Marlins team as well.
What's funny is the timing of the when this broke out, when he said this was within a day or 2 days of when they announced the new Delta sign that's going to be in right field. And they had just showed a picture of it on, I think over this, there was, a, I don't know, I saw a picture of it somewhere, of the new Delta sign that's going to be in right field. And they're like, oh, new major sponsor, Delta Airlines. And then we're like, oh, we're not spending any more money. We have no money, but we're going to put this nice big sign of Delta Airlines in right field.
Yeah, it's Aroldis Chapman, brought to you by Delta Airlines.
Exactly. Yeah, and they're not, but we're very comfortable with where we are. They give us enough money where we're very comfortable. But, you know, there's a lot of money. I think what this means is that they just don't want to put anything on the books at this point until the guys, a lot of these big contracts come off. And, you know, we'll see some spending at that point, I think, once the, you know, the Texts and the Beltrons come off the books.
Teixeira and Beltran coming off the books after this year, and then A-Rod and CC the following year. That's I didn't do the math, but I'm trying.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of millions.
I think it's like 90 million.
It's a lot of millions.
Yeah. 80 or 90 million, something crazy. So, yeah, I mean, they can go out and get Bryce Harper.
Yeah, or they can invest it for the time when Bryce Harper gets out so it can They'll need to triple that money for that.
Won't Harper be a free agent after CC and A-Rod are gone?
After CC and A-Rod, yeah, it's 17. Yeah,
going into the 18 season.
Right, yep. Yeah.
Perfect timing. I think fans overreacted about this. I was kind of overreacting as a joke. I honestly was not mad at all. I think the Yankees ownership always has spent money since George Steinbrenner owned the team. I've never once questioned their desire to win.
I mean, are we mad because we're not number one in payroll? Who gives a shit?
No, it's stupid. But it's not that we're not number one. But hearing your owner say we don't want to spend any more money when ticket prices are really high and beer right. costs $12 and a hot dog costs $9 and it's like, I could see why that rubs fans the wrong way.
Yeah, I get it. I do get it. And, you know, the fact that the new Yankee Stadium has really turned into more of a corporate stadium and there's just a lot of the allure of the old stadium is gone and you're just seeing – I feel like you see dollar signs everywhere you turn in that place. And you just – there's a lot of greed going into it. So I get it. The fact that there's a giant – greed sign now in right field doesn't help matters.
It's one of those things where it's like, I know it's that you're thinking that, but just don't tell me it. It's
right.
It's just, I don't want to hear the owner of my favorite team say that is really the case. But I do understand his standpoint and I agree. I didn't want them to go out and sign, Hayward for $180 million or Justin Upton for $130 million. I would have disagreed with those signings. Or price for whatever.
Well, and just given the position of the team right now, I mean, people are forgetting the fact that we have these big name guys and these giant contracts that are not living really up to their contracts right. at this point, but they're still on the books. And, you know, we were excited when they happened, but we knew that the back end of these contracts were going to be a little bit brutal. So that's kind of what we're experiencing at this point. And to their credit, they are still fielding very competitive teams. They're getting younger. And they're making good moves to move the team forward in a positive way. We're not rebuilding by any means. The back end of these contracts is not a rebuild time. There's still a lot of firepower that's being brought into this team. So, honestly, I think Brian Cashman's doing a very good job with what he's got with these heavy contracts that are sitting there.
Yeah, it's, again, just, Hal, maybe next time keep it to yourself. So, what would you think about the freak, Tim Lincecum, being in pinstripes next year?
You know, so we touched on this last week where we're talking about the guys that are still on the free agent market, the pitchers. I think we named four or five guys. And Lincecum was one of the guys that you know, we know is out there. And
I don't think we mentioned him, though.
Did we not? I thought we did. Maybe we didn't. The news is that he's going to be putting on there's an article on Bronx Pinstripes today, Monday, that the freak is putting on a workout in February, and the Yankees have contacted his agent basically to say that they were just interested, just kind of feeling it out. And that's all this is. They're going to send some guys to see what he's got, to see what he's doing, to see if he's healthy. They're going to put him through a physical. They want to see if he's healthy because he had surgery. He had hip surgery, I think, right? This is kind of a check in to see what he's got, and it would be probably a 1 year incentive laden deal.
Oh yeah, so, I mean the guy hasn't really been very good since 2012.
Right.
He's
pitched out of the bullpen too.
Yeah. His body broke down entirely. He had a very weird herky jerky wind up. Probably caused a lot of issues in his body. He was small to begin with. He was called the freak literally because you couldn't figure out how the guy was throwing 97 miles an hour. And stuff just happens. He breaks down. I mean, if he's a name at this point, I know it'll get people excited. Oh, Tim Lincecum coming in to Yankee Stadium, but I don't think he would even. I can't even see him winning a game for them next year.
No, but you know, it's an interesting storyline, and it's one of those guys I think that also could be brought in on a minor league deal to see what he's got in spring training. We definitely talked about that last week.
Absolutely.
Of you know, giving a guy basically a tryout, kind of a short-term thing in spring training. So, you know, I mean, you never know. I mean, maybe it's been injuries and the latest round of surgery or whatever he's got. I don't know his specifics on, you know, what procedures he's had done, but you know, maybe he can't be that old. What is he, 31, 32, if that?
Yeah, I don't know
he's,
exactly.
He's in his early 30s.
He's not old, no.
He's not an old dude, so maybe a couple years off that, you know, he's not. He doesn't have a lot of innings on his arm over the past 3 years, so maybe that's helped him out, and he can come back and kind of have a resurgence. I mean, look, Scott Kazmir was out for a while. I thought Scott Kazmir was done 4 years ago.
That's a good point.
And dude has come back and had, you know, a good career towards the end. So he turned it around, that, you know, overcame some injuries. So, you know, we've seen that in the past.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good comparison. I was looking at Tim Lincecum's stats today just because of the news, and those first 4 years of his career were some of the best ever. You know, Sandy Koufax type numbers for 4 years, but just couldn't last. All right, so we have a mailbag, and I'll let you read it because of the first two sentences. I cannot say those words. So why don't you read that mailbag?
This is from Julio. Thanks, Julio. I appreciate you writing in. This was like at the buzzer, too. This is perfect. No Patriots. It feels so good. No Patriots. It feels so good.
He only wrote it once.
There are a lot of Yankees fans that have never been to Yankee Stadium. What do you suggest doing in order to maximize the experience? Taking the tour before the game, best affordable seats, and what do you absolutely have to eat while you're there? Thanks, and keep up the great work. So thanks, Julio. I appreciate you coming and or appreciate you sending that in, and thank you for those first two lines so that I could read it. That was perfect, and I can't wait to talk about that. There are a lot. I know there's a lot of people who listen to the show that have either emailed in or just hit us up on social media that are not in the New York area, that have not been to a game and are looking for that one opportunity to go to a game. So, Andrew, what is your – I have some ideas of, where I would steer people, but what would you suggest?
So about the tour, I'm assuming he's talking about the Monument Park.
Yeah.
You got to get there early if you're going to do that. I did Monument Park at the old stadium, but I actually did it on an off day, and I took a tour of the stadium. I got to go on the field, you know, walk the warning track, sit in the dugout, and they take you through Monument Park. I would actually suggest, if you're going to take a trip to New York, maybe do that if the team's out of town and then they're going to come into town like the next day, because you got to get there very early if you're going to do a tour beforehand. But it's definitely cool. It's one of those things. You got to see Monument Park. I haven't seen the new one. I would like to see it. we always, we always like to go out to the bars beforehand, Billy's or Stan's or one of those bars right in back of the stadium. That's always a good time. Definitely recommend doing that. The more time you can spend not spending $12 on a beer, the better. So that's pretty much my opinion on it. For food. So the new Yankee Stadium is pretty good for food. It doesn't compare to the old Yankee Stadium. That's probably the only thing I like better about the new Yankee Stadium. I was doing some research because I always end up getting, because we always usually go in like 10 minutes before the game. So it's pretty much whatever line is the shortest and will allow me to see first pitch I'll get. But I do love cheesesteaks, which I believe Carl's, right? Or NYY Steak does the cheesesteaks. And I found out, I have not been to it, but Parm has a stand in the Great Hall at Yankee Stadium, which I'm definitely checking out this coming season. Are you familiar with Parm?
No, I'm not.
It's a restaurant on the Upper West Side. It's an Italian restaurant. My girlfriend actually lives in walking distance to Parm. I've been like four times at this point. It's delicious. One of the best meatball subs I've ever had. So I'm pretty excited about checking out that stand at Yankee Stadium.
Nice. So yeah, I agree with a lot of things you said. Definitely hit the bars beforehand. If you're going to go to the Monument Park, I actually went to the last year. I went it again in the new stadium. And here's a pro tip that one of the employees was telling me about. So they have two lines. Once you get in there, there's like a speed line that nobody knows about. You can't even tell that it's there. The only way you know it's there is if like one of the ushers is like, "Hey, there's a speed line. You can go around all of these people." And one of the ladies who was working there was like, here's the speed line. I'm like, oh, awesome. I don't need to sit there and like stare at every single plaque. Like that's, I just don't need to do that. I don't think anybody really needs to do that. You could look at them and you could kind of butt in. You could be, just be that guy who kind of butts in from the speed line too, which I did. But you could go around in the speed line. You could be in and out of there in like 15 minutes and it's awesome. But yeah, you should definitely see it, go through and check out all the plaques and stuff. So it's definitely a cool thing to do. The museum inside there, the line gets crazy long as well. You know, once before the game, so do that really early too if you're going to do it.
Oh, you're talking about the museum on the first base side in the stadium?
Yes.
Yeah. You could I've actually done it in the middle of a game before.
The past few games I've been to, the line was still really long.
Oh, yeah, I've done it in like the fourth inning before, like 10 minutes, you know, you miss a few batters, but that's it.
But yeah, but that's something cool too. You could see a bunch of memorabilia in there. As far as the seats, honestly, to me, there's nothing better than sitting in the bleachers. I love sitting in the bleachers because, one, you get a lot of just the kind of the hardcore fans. You get a lot. You get just to me a better experience, and that's absolutely where I would go if I were traveling. I would go and sit in the bleachers to get the bleacher experience.
Well, it's definitely cheapest.
It's cheap. They're not cheap. Nothing's cheap anymore, but they used to be $10.
Well, they're 16 or 17 now. Right.
Yeah. But if you go on StubHub or anything like that, you're not spending under $30-$40.
Well, so the best seats I think for the best value seats I think are the mid-level, like mid outfield, because you got a pretty good view and they're not super expensive. But if you buy them on like Ticketmaster or well in advance on StubHub, you're spending $80, $90, which is way too much. But I've gone and I've actually gotten tickets like the morning of a game in those areas for like $45, which I think is actually a pretty good deal for where the seat is. So that's usually my go-to. And if I can't get them, then if I don't already have tickets, then I just watch the game somewhere.
There you go. And then as far as to eat, I'm very traditional. Every time I go, I'm peanuts and Yankee Stadium hot dog.
Get your Cracker Jacks here.
That's me. Peanuts and a dog and some cold beer. So yeah. Now have the other thing. Oh, check out, go to thebronxpinstripes.com too and look up off the field, one of our categories. It's in the Yankee articles, and look up, Sue Banger has a few articles that are like talking about Yankee Stadium and talking about the food vendors and a bunch of stuff about Yankee Stadium. So I'll talk to her too and see if she can't write kind of a new one to
definitely
to help people out. But yeah, she's got some really good insight on a lot of the different food stuff at Yankee Stadium too.
And
so check that out.
Also go to what section is Brewski in?
He floats now, man. But yeah, check out Cousin Brewski. Hit me up if you're going to a game. Hit me on Twitter, and I'll get in touch with Brewski and see where he is for the game that you're going to.
Definitely. Good question. Different question, so that was definitely good to see. And if anybody has suggestions that we missed, hit us up on Twitter, and we'll read them on next week's episode. I think that might be it for Yankees talk. You got anything else on your mind?
No, I'm ready. I'm ready.
I know, please, right?
Please. And now you're ready.
I'm ready
now. And now you're ready. Which leads us into the next thing we're going to talk about, which is the fact that you are now ready for baseball. And it is baseball season for Andrew, too. Why? Because the Patriots finally lost and they are done. The cheaters do not prosper.
Oh, come on.
They do not prosper. They are done. They lost.
So not the only are you going to rub it in that they lost.
Old man Denver Bronco quarterback Peyton Manning crushes Tom Brady and embarrasses them.
So you're going to be one of those people that not only rubs salt in my wounds for them losing, but you're also going to throw the cheaters thing on there?
I didn't make them cheat. It's not my fault. They're a bunch of cheaters.
All right, I'm not even addressing that.
They're just a bunch of cheaters. I mean, it's calling a spade a spade. I pulled back. I was very nice and didn't talk a lot of shit to you on Twitter
you
while
should
it was
have. I don't know why you didn't. I would have talked shit to you if the Jets were in the situation and losing.
Okay, well, next time I will be ruthless. I guess I was being the nicer guy, which I shouldn't be. I don't know why I'm that nice guy. I shouldn't be that guy.
Here's what.
Yeah, it was actually a really good game, and my kiss of death worked, which I'm really happy about. This was if you didn't listen to last week's the end of it. If you're still listening, we're talking about football. I picked the Patriots only because I really wanted them to lose. I didn't want them to win. I just picked them because I thought maybe it would be a kiss of death, and it worked.
You done?
For now.
Here's what happened. The Patriots did not try in the last 2 weeks of the season against the Jets and against the Dolphins.
Christ.
And that allowed the Broncos to get the number one seed. I don't think the Patriots thought that was going to be an issue. They were thinking if they're healthy, they can go into Denver and win. Clearly, they were wrong because going to Denver is really difficult. The altitude definitely plays a factor. You saw Gronkowski dehydrated and his muscles cramping. Didn't happen to any of the Denver players because they're used to that atmosphere. So I definitely think going to Denver is unlike going to – it's like unlike – it's like that's a unique place to go. Seattle's a unique place to go because of the noise. You know, I don't know, maybe a couple other places. But Denver is definitely one of them. Patriots did never play well in Denver. They didn't play well yesterday. Von Miller, I think he just sacked Brady again. Guy was all over them the whole game. They were getting pressure with four guys, so that allowed they didn't have to blitz, so that allowed the guys to still be covered. Denver's defense won that game. I know you said old man Peyton Manning won the game, but that's false. He didn't.
I said Denver and the old man Peyton Manning stepped on Brady's throat. He did. He threw two touchdowns to old man Owen Daniels.
What year is this?
It was beautiful. It was actually awesome to see. And yes, the Denver pass rush just was unstoppable. I mean, those two guys, I mean, they're both Pro Bowlers. They're both filthy players. They just really hadn't put it together, I think, for a game. And they were highly motivated. It was very obvious.
Yeah.
And those two guys had the best game of their career.
That was what won the game for them.
Oh, no doubt. And Brady was not comfortable the entire game. Yeah. So
he made so people are getting on Brady. I'm not saying he played well. He played a pretty good second half, especially to get them in that touchdown late in the game. That throw to Gronk was ridiculous.
That was a filthy throw.
Yeah, on fourth. He was in double coverage on fourth and 10 or whatever
it was. A dime. I mean, you can't.
Yeah. But that throw, that interception in the first half to Von Miller to give them like a 12-yard field, you can't make that throw. Brady usually doesn't make that throw.
I don't think he saw Von Miller. I think Von Miller actually deceived him because he pulled back. I don't think he saw Von Miller when he threw the ball.
Yeah.
Or right before he threw it. Or he had already decided he was going to throw it and didn't see him.
Yeah, it was sort of like one of those things. He knew he was going to Gronk. He was trying to look off, and he just assumed Von Miller wouldn't be there or something. But right. That was a bad throw. That was the worst throw of the game. But I don't think any quarterback would have been able to handle that pass rush.
I don't know. I don't really care. All I know is that Tom Brady didn't. And they lost, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful to see, and I'm so happy for Peyton Manning, and I'm glad he's got his little swan song because he's going to retire after this, even if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, which I don't think he's going to, but he's going to, you know, this will be it for him. He went to the Super Bowl, had an opportunity to win another Super Bowl. What more could you ask for? So good for him. I'm glad Gostkowski missed that extra point because it kind of made him feel bad, which
he
was awesome.
He didn't miss all season.
I know that was so perfect. So there were just a lot of really good things that happened in that game.
The
fact
that
you said that they didn't play their last 2 weeks is ridiculous because if they didn't try, they wouldn't have played Tom Brady. Bottom line.
Then how do you explain running the ball 16 out of the first 20 plays in that Miami game?
If you don't care what happens in that last game and you're not trying, you're not playing Tom Brady. Why would you play Tom Brady at that point?
I understand that aspect of it, but if they had played Garoppolo, that would have been essentially throwing a game, and I think people would have gotten on them for that.
Who gives a shit? They're the Patriots. They don't give a shit what anybody thinks.
I don't know. I did not see them trying in that Miami game at all. And the Jets game that they somehow got to overtime. I still don't know how they got the game to overtime. They friggin' kicked off in overtime.
Well, that's not trying. That's just being stupid. That's just being arrogant and dumb.
They put health over home field, and they were wrong.
I think they got too cocky. That's what happened. They got way too cocky.
You can understand. I agreed with it at the time. I would rather have had Brady and all those guys healthy versus a home field advantage. I agree with that.
There's no agreeing or disagreeing because that's not what happened. That's where you're wrong.
Yes,
you're saying agree to the fact that they didn't try, but you're not correct with that. You keep saying that like it's a fact. It is not a fact.
Did you watch that Miami game in the last game of the season?
It doesn't matter. If they're not trying, Tom Brady is not on the field. That's just
no one else was on the field. Gronk wasn't on the field. Edelman, Amendola wasn't on the field.
Those guys were hurt, though. They were injured. So even more reason to not play Brady if you're not going to try. So to me, the whole argument with the fact that Brady's out there makes no sense.
Well, it didn't look like they really wanted to win the game or else they would have passed the ball a little bit more.
Either way, they played in Denver. Denver played a very good game. Their defense was awesome. Peyton Manning was good enough.
He made a couple throws in the first half, but I mean, they didn't move the ball in the second half. They scored 3 points, and I think on their last three drives, they had a total of negative 3 yards.
That's great. They still won the game. They didn't have to, apparently, so good for them. I don't give a shit. They won the game.
The wounds are still fresh.
Oh, it's awesome. I'm so happy about this. I'm just glad you're on to Yankee baseball now.
I didn't even really watch the second game. It was on, but I wasn't paying attention. The Arizona.
It doesn't matter. Nobody watched it because it was a blowout from the beginning. I called this one. I said Carolina was going to stomp them.
I actually was. I was not. I picked Carolina, but I was like, oh, Arizona, they might have something there. But yeah, they got curb stomped.
There were two things that I was. I need to pat myself on the back because I had a feeling that they were going to just completely stomp them. And then two, I had a feeling that they were never. The comeback that has happened a few times with Carolina was just going to be completely stopped, and it was. Like they, for a second, you thought maybe Carson Palmer had a comeback in him for a second. They scored, and then they got the ball back quickly, and then Carson Palmer threw an interception again, and Carolina just
he got the ball back, and he was dropping back to pass, and he was like, "Wait, what's that? Oh, I was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. Let me throw a pick here."
Yeah, so it was just an ass whooping. They've been just killing people for the past couple weeks. Cam Newton is the most dominant, best player on the planet right now. The guy's playing out of his mind. You don't know what he's going to do because now he can throw the ball to kill you. I mean, he's improved so much on with the passing game, and he's not throwing to anybody either. He's got nobody there as help. Like Ted Ginn, okay. Greg Olsen is a viable option, but there's nobody there. They're just a bunch of dudes, and he's doing it. On his shoulder, he truly is Superman this year. The guy's playing out of his mind. So I think just going into the next thing, we're talking about the Super Bowl preview. I think Carolina's going to kick Denver's ass.
I agree, but maybe I picked Denver just to do the reverse jinx thing, like you did.
Yeah, but that's not like a passion thing. Like do you really care who wins?
I don't really want Peyton Manning to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. He's not going to be touching Brady's numbers, so that
I know,
only gives
but
him
it
two.
It gives fuel to the people who think that
conversation.
Peyton Manning is better than Tom Brady, and I just don't want them to have this in their arsenal of arguments.
Okay, well, I just want a good game. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think Denver's defense is phenomenal. I think they're really good, but I think that the team and the offense that kind of matches up with them is these guys. They have a lot of speed guys, a wide receiver. They have a filthy tight end, and they have a guy who doesn't take many sacks. And Cam Newton can, one, be elusive. Two, he can just he's hard to tackle because he's bigger than you, and he's proved that he's got too many damn weapons.
They have a run game though. The Carolina has a run game, so the Patriots had no run game, so it allowed the Denver defensive line to sell out with the rush. They're not going to be able to do that against Carolina.
Well, and also the run game is also consistent of their quarterback. So there's just so many things you have to think about now with him and. I mean, if you give him a window, he's hitting it. He's been accurate. He's got a cannon. He's just been awesome. And I think Cam Newton is like – he sees this big stage, and he's ready to just – he's ready to take it.
The line opened at the Carolina 3 points, minus three, and it's already up to 4.5.
I saw 5.5 on ESPN. I thought I saw 5.5.
Oh, then it must be up to 5.5, people pounding the Panthers, because three is a pretty low line for this matchup.
Yeah, and you know the good thing for Denver is that they got a couple of weeks for Peyton to. It's obviously the time has helped him. He hasn't taken a lot of
two
big
weeks,
hits.
2 weeks will definitely help him,
and 2 weeks more will definitely he could sell out pretty much. And this is it. I mean, I don't see him possibly coming back next year. So I think this is it. He's going to put everything into the shot. So, you know, maybe I'm discounting that kind of storyline and the determination of a retiring Peyton Manning who has nothing to lose at this point. So. Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of hope it's a good game, but I wouldn't be surprised if Carolina.
The better game would have been Carolina Patriots.
No, I'm just happy that the Patriots are. I don't have to look at them.
This is not going to be a good game. This is going to be 2 years ago when the Broncos lost by 40 in the Super Bowl all over again.
I don't think it's going
to
be.
No one wants to see.
I don't think it's going to be that big.
I know it's not going to be 40, but
Carolina is rolling right now, so they're going to be tough to
gun
to
my head. I would say. Carolina wins by like 17 points, 17 to 20 points.
Okay. All right. So what's your projected score?
I think it'll be like 26-9. So what's that? Or 26-8 or something weird like that.
8?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going 27-14.
All right. So about the same.
Yeah.
Well, we got 2 weeks to get excited for it. And what we really should be getting excited for is Yankees pitchers and catchers reporting, which is coming up, finally. And we can have something to talk about other than potential Brett Gardner trades, which I feel like we've beaten to death this offseason.
Brett Gardner hates us.
Again, guys, definitely submit to the mailbag questions. Thanks to the guys who submitted today. You can submit bronxpinstripes.com/podcast and you'll see the mailbag right there. Call the voicemail line. We're still going to be running that t-shirt contest before the spring training ends. We're going to be drawing a free t-shirt for somebody. And the number is 646-480-0342. Definitely give that a call. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. If you have a question or a topic you want to hear us discuss, we definitely want to hear it. All right, guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.